Picture this. You're on final about a half mile out. The runway is right there in front of you. You can see the numbers, and you've got the field made, except you're a little high. And you're a little fast, and the center line is drifting slightly to the left, and the airspeed is bouncing between 70 and 80 when it should be sitting steady at 65. And somewhere in the back of your mind, a voice is saying, "I can fix this." That voice has put a lot of airplanes into a lot of ditches. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, here on Radio Hangar. Today we're talking about the go-around, not as a punishment, not as a failure, as a skill, as a decision, and specifically, as the maneuver that separates pilots who are in control of the situation from pilots who are hoping the situation works out on its own. Before we get into it, quick word from our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. Now, let's talk about why this matters. The go-around is one of the most safety-critical maneuvers in basic flight training, and it is also one of the most under-practiced. Here's why. When you're doing touch-and-go landings, you land, you clean up, you go, there's no decision moment. There's no pressure, you've already touched down. So the go-around question doesn't apply, but in real flying and on the check ride, that decision has to happen in the air. At speed, with the runway rushing up at you, and it has to happen fast. The National Transportation Safety Board, or NTSB, has documented dozens of accidents where the contributing factor was a continued approach that should have been abandoned. Runway overruns, hard landings, unstabilized approaches that pilots tried to salvage at 50 feet. The pattern is always the same. The pilot knew something was wrong. The pilot decided to fix it instead of going around. It didn't work. So let's start from the beginning, the stabilized approach. A stabilized approach means you've got the airplane configured, trimmed, and established on a constant glide path at the correct airspeed, aligned with the runway centerline before you reach a specific gate. In visual conditions, most flight schools and most instructors put that gate at 500 feet above the ground. Some put it at 300 feet. The idea is that below that altitude, you are committed to a specific picture. Correction time is gone. The runway is the runway. What does stabilized actually look like? Here are the criteria. You're on or close to the extended center line. Your glide path is stable, which usually means you're on a 3-degree descent, and the runway numbers are sitting still in your windscreen rather than rising or falling. Your airspeed is at the approach speed called for in your pilot's operating handbook, or POH, within about 5 knots, and it's not swinging wildly. You're configured for landing, flaps in the landing position, gear down if you have retractable gear. Your descent rate is reasonable. 1,000 feet per minute or less for most light singles, and you're on the correct side of the power curve. Not dragging in with idle throttle from way too high, not screaming down with full power trying to push through. If any of those criteria break down before you reach the 500-foot gate, you might still have time to correct. But below 500 feet, if it's not right, the answer is go around. Now here's where students get into trouble. They start negotiating. I'll fix the speed. It's a little high, but I can slip it down. Just one small correction and it'll be fine. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Your brain is biased toward completion. The runway is right there. You've been flying for 45 minutes. You're tired. You want to land. That bias is powerful, and it works against you in exactly this scenario. The go-around decision has to be made before you need it. It has to be a policy, not a judgment call you make at 150 feet. So make the policy now before you ever get in the airplane. Pick your gate. Pick your criteria and commit. If it's not stabilized at 500 feet, I'm going around. No negotiation. The landing doesn't count if the approach is marginal. Now let's walk through the go-around itself, because this is where students make another set of mistakes. The go-around is not just pushing the throttle and climbing away. There's a sequence, and the sequence matters. First, power. Full throttle or maximum power as smoothly and quickly as you can get it there. Don't hesitate. The airplane needs energy to climb, and you need to give it that energy now at the same time. Get the pitch attitude to a climb attitude. Not a steep climb, a normal positive climb attitude. What you're looking for is airspeed building toward best angle of climb, which is VX, or best rate of climb, V, depending on what's ahead of you. If you're low with obstacles ahead, VX. If you've got clear airspace, VY, second, right rudder. When you add full power on a single-engine airplane with a clockwise rotating propeller, you get P-factor, torque, and slipstream effects, all pushing the nose to the left. You already knew this from your ground lessons. But in the go-around, the surprise is how strong it is. You've been at reduced power on final. You've got flaps down. The trim is set for approach. Now you shove the throttle in and all of that changes at once. Right rudder. Firm right rudder. Enough to keep the nose tracking straight. Students who've been flying with lazy feet suddenly discover the airplane has very strong opinions. Third, flaps. And here's where the most dangerous mistake happens. When you decide to go around, you likely have flaps extended, maybe 20 degrees, maybe full flaps, depending on what your training called for on final. The instinct is to immediately retract the flaps, get the airplane clean, get it climbing. But here's the problem. Full flaps create a lot of drag, yes. They also create a lot of lift if you're low, slow, and you yank the flaps up all at once. You drop the lift before the airspeed has a chance to build. The airplane sinks if you don't have altitude to spare. That sink can be catastrophic. The correct procedure is to retract flaps incrementally, in stages as the airspeed builds. Your POH will have specific guidance. Many will say retract from full to an intermediate setting first, then retract the remainder as you establish a positive rate of climb and clear any obstacles. The point is, you're managing energy. You're not pulling the rug out from under yourself. Let me give you a scenario. You're at a small, non-towered airport. You're on a 2-mile final in a Cessna 172. You're configured with full flaps doing 65 knots. You're a little fast and a little high, but the runway is long and you think you can make it work. At 500 feet above ground level, you're still fast, still high, and the approach isn't stabilized. What do? You go around. And because you're at a non-towered airport, you also broadcast your intentions on the Common Traffic Advisory Frequency, or CTAF, something like Traffic, Cessna 47. Romeo is going around runway 27, remaining in the pattern. Now the traffic behind you knows you're climbing and turning crosswind instead of landing. This is a communication habit the examiner will notice and appreciate. Once you've executed the go-around and you're climbing, you're rejoining the pattern. And this is where another mistake shows up. Students get so focused on the mechanics of the go-around that they forget they are now back in the pattern and need to fly it. Where's the crosswind leg? Where's the downwind? Are you at pattern altitude? Is there traffic? The go-around doesn't end when the nose is pointing up. It ends when you're established in the pattern and ready for another approach. Now let's talk about the balloon flare, because this one comes up on the check ride and catches a lot of students off guard. You're over the runway, you're at 5 feet. You flare and the airplane floats and floats. And instead of settling gently onto the pavement, you find yourself climbing back to 15 feet, 20 feet, still flying, airspeed bleeding away, and the end of the runway is getting closer. This is the balloon flare. And the correct response is an immediate go-around. What students do instead is try to salvage it. They push the nose forward, the airplane drops and hits hard on the nose gear. Or they hold the flare as the airspeed bleeds out and the airplane stalls 2 feet above the runway and crashes. Neither of those outcomes is on the check ride standards. A prompt, clean go-around from a ballooned flare absolutely is. The Airman Certification Standards, or ACS, for the private pilot check ride evaluate your go-around in the takeoffs and landings task area. The standards require you to initiate it from a simulated ballooned landing, a bounced landing, a high flare, or at the examiner's direction. What that means is you should be ready for the examiner to call it at any point in the approach, not just when the approach is obviously bad. Sometimes they'll call it when everything looked fine just to test your response time and your execution. So practice it that way. Have your instructor call it at unexpected moments, low, high, on speed, slightly fast. Learn what it feels like to transition from I was about to land to I'm now climbing away. That transition has to be crisp. Let's talk about trim for a moment, because this is one of the less discussed challenges of the go-around. On final approach, you've trimmed the airplane for a descent at approach speed. When you add full power and pitch to a climb attitude, you're now holding significant back pressure against the trim. You're also holding right rudder and managing flap retraction. It's a busy moment. The technique is to fly first and trim second. Hold the attitude with control pressure. Get the flap staged, get the airplane climbing. Then retrim as you go. Don't try to retrim first, fly the airplane. And throughout all of this, the examiner is watching for positive aircraft control. That means the nose doesn't wander, the wings stay level, the airspeed doesn't decay to the point of a stall warning horn. The examiner wants to see that you are flying the airplane through the entire maneuver, not reacting to what the airplane is doing. What does a great go-around look like? power in smoothly and fully, right rudder simultaneously, pitch to climb attitude, announce on CTF if non-towered, retract flaps in stages as airspeed builds, establish a positive rate of climb. Retrim, rejoin the pattern, no drama, no surprises. The airplane does exactly what you asked it to do because you asked in the right order at the right time, with control throughout. Now I want to address the mental side of this. Some students are embarrassed by the go-around. They feel like it's an admission of failure. It's not. It is a demonstration of judgment. Any examiner who has spent time in the right seat will tell you that a crisp, well-executed go-around is impressive. What is not impressive is a salvage attempt that ends in a hard touchdown 2,000 feet down a runway that isn't that long. And outside the check ride. In real flying, the go-around is a life-saving tool. Birds on the runway, a vehicle that pulled across at the wrong moment, wind shear that took your airspeed away at 100 feet. There are a dozen reasons you might need to go around on any given flight. And if you've trained the response to be automatic and clean, it will be there when you need it. Here's a drill I want you to try the next time you're doing pattern work. Before you turn final, say out loud, my go-around criteria are speed, glide path, and centerline. At 500 feet, if I don't have all three, I'm going around, then commit to it. Fly the approach. If you blow through the gate without a stabilized picture, go around. Even if you think you could make it. Especially if you think you could make it. That discipline in training is what makes the response available to you when the situation is real and you don't have time to think. The POH for your airplane has a specific go-around procedure. Read it. Know the flap position called for in each step. Know the pitch attitude referenced. Know the airspeeds. Every airplane handles the transition a little differently. And the POH is the authority today's content. Draws from the FAA Airplane Flying Handbook, the Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate, and NTSB Accident Reports. On stabilized approach criteria, past episodes, and training resources at radiohangar.com. Go around early. Go around clean. The runway will be there for the next approach.